This is my friend Byron Easterling. A number of you know him well, and the rest of you will here pretty quickly. We've been friends for a good long time, had a chance to do a little bit of traveling together, and he, I'll let him catch you up, but he's on the board of IRIS Cambodia, and has been traveling with a person connected with that who's in the sexual trafficking, helping business, trying to get people out and then go behind the scenes and take out the people who are doing it. And so he's been traveling with someone doing that, raising money for that, and it happened to be that he could be in Kansas City. Just came from Birmingham, where a friend James Harris and Miguel are, and then has been with Mike and Gloria Lynn here in Leavenworth doing some things, and got a chance to be here with us today. So Byron, if you'd come, I'll pray. So this is Byron Easterling. Why don't you give him a little harmony welcome? Somebody said, well, what does Byron do? And I said, well, I'll have to ask Crystal. That's why. Actually, one of the things that has endeared me to Byron over the years is that he gets this thing that our job is to just live saved 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, wherever we are. And he gets that. And what flows out of that is God's business, you know? But with that as an attitude, so, you know, then our life prays and our life preaches and, you know, that kind of stuff. And he understands that. And that's so refreshing to me. So, Lord, thank you for friends in the kingdom of God. Thank you for the opportunity. This was an unrehearsed one, didn't I? I didn't know this one was coming. So just thank you that you caused schedules to work out where he could be here and I could be here and we could be here together. So we just want to hand you this little crucible of time that we call a Sunday morning service. And Lord, would you come and express yourself to us in the ways that you know honor you the most and bless us the deepest. In Jesus' name.
Awesome.
Amen.
Good morning. One, I just have to say there is no despair in this house this morning, okay? If you have despair, you get to wash that away this morning. Why is that? I don't know if you understand worship leading. I spent many years as a worship leader. I know I look like an accountant, but I sing like but I sing like Muddy Waters. So I just want to say that when a worship leader starts repeating a pattern, it's generally not written in the lyrics. It's because the Holy Spirit has taken control of his heart, or their mind, her heart, her mind, whatever it is, their spirit, and he began to sing this morning. I know that God is in control. I know that God is in control. Seven words that can change your life this morning. That's it. Have a great day. Don't you wish? I just want to leave that with you because worship leaders, they don't just practice those lines. The Holy Spirit just interrupts them. And if you know music at all, that's a powerful thing that happens to a worship leader's life. You know, this morning he mentioned that I'm on the board of IRIS Cambodia. I don't know if you know the name Heidi Baker and Roland Baker. Heidi and Roland have founded a group called IRIS Global, and I am blessed to be on the board with Heidi and another man named Mark DuPont. And we, IRIS Cambodia is their key anti-trafficking base. But I'm just going to just touch on this a minute. They have over 400,000 men, white mostly, coming from five nations, U.S., the U.K., Australia, Germany, I can't remember the fifth, doesn't matter. And they are not the most trafficked country in the world. Do you know who is? The U.S. Guys, we need to wake up to this, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Because I have something else that's on my heart, and it comes from Heidi. It's a Heidi morning. Heidi. Anyway, yeah, hello. Heidi Baker has this statement that she founded her ministry on, and it's called Stop for the One. Stop for the One. So I want to tell you three stories. In 1989, we were a part of the Vineyard. My wife and I, we lived in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was known as a worship leader. I had just finished traveling with a soloist. We did Billy Graham crusades. We did national TV. I was a piano player and a singer. And I started finding out about the things of the Spirit, like healing. And I'm walking into I can't remember. I think it was just a Kroger's in Indianapolis, Indiana. Do they have Piggly Wiggly's? Is there a store called Piggly Wiggly? I think it was a Piggly Wiggly store. I was always intrigued by that name. And I went up to the ice cream. Some of you have heard this story. I went up to an ice cream counter, case, right? Because it was my job that evening to get the ice cream because my wife and my daughter and I were going to watch a movie. It was Sunday evening, and that's what we did on Sunday evenings. We got ice cream, had our dinner, and watched a movie together. So that was my job. My wife and my daughter were getting the movie. I was getting the ice cream. Personally, I got to choose the ice cream, which was, of course, chocolate mint chip, because that's what I personally liked a lot. So I went to the ice cream counter, and standing in front of the ice cream cabinet, is a lady about 187 years old, weighing 3 pounds. She was the tiniest little woman. She was definitely elder, and she was all bent over and hunched over. Her hands were incredibly arthritic. What was my goal? You have to remember, my goal was ice cream. But she's standing like this far in front of the cabinet, and I can't move her out of the way. Because I'm thinking, how do I hip check this lady without breaking her body? Because it's just, you know, she's like studying the ice cream, or either that, she'd fallen asleep. I don't know which one. And I hear the Lord say to me, say hello. Now that's pretty, you know, that's no big deal. I can say hello. But I know what hello leads to. Hello leads to a conversation, and personally, I was not interested in a conversation. I was interested in, thank you very much. We're on the same page. And I heard the Lord say again, say hello. So I said, hi, how are you? And of course, she kind of turns and looks up at me and says, hi. And I'm thinking she'll recognize that I'm standing there waiting for the ice cream and just move out of the way so I can reach in. Because my brain was thinking, how could I open up the cabinet that far, reach in, grab a half gallon of ice cream? But the door was, I'm serious, she was like this. I don't know if she's trying to read labels. And the Lord says, ask her how she's doing. Huh? Have you seen her? I mean, Lord, are you losing your eyesight? because for some reason I'm seeing a lady that needs light. And I said the word in my healing. Oh, no. Ice cream, not healing. I don't have time for this, Lord. I've got family at home. Wait, family's important, Lord. Family's important. I'm coming up with the arguments, right? Of course we do. And the Lord said, ask her how she's doing. I said, how are you doing? And she told me. And she told me all. So my assumption was that her children dropped her off at the Piggly Wiggly on Sunday evenings, and that was her great routine to walk around the store, and that was her excitement for the week. And the Lord said, ask her if you can pray for her. Okay, Lord, if that'll get her out of the way. So I said, ma'am, can I pray for you? Now, most people at that point think, oh, what a nice young man. He's going to go home and he's going to pray for me. But I had just been trained in all these things of how to pray for people. And I said, no, I'd like to pray for you right now. Is that okay? And she was not taken back by that. She said, okay. And I said, well, I'm just going to be quiet. Is it okay if I just put my hand on your arm right here? And she goes, yeah, that's fine. I said, well, I'm just going to take a minute, and I'm going to listen to God and ask for a prayer for you. Man, that was the longest 30 seconds I'd ever had in my life. I felt like months had passed. I mean, I'm sitting in a Piggly Wiggly in front of an ice cream cabinet praying for a lady who needs healing, but obviously I just want to go home and eat my ice cream and watch a movie with my family. And I hear this simple prayer come out of my mouth. And this crumpled hand begins to unfold. And this hand begins to unfold. And she began to stand upright. Now, she wasn't completely. Yeah. Come on. Thank you. In that moment, I was not a worship leader. I was not a guy that had been on national TV with Billy Graham and his crusades. I was not a guy that was known by anybody. She didn't know me from Adam. I was just a guy getting ice cream. You know what's freaky about that? I was so excited. I ran out of there, paid for my ice cream, got my ice cream, paid for my ice cream, got home, told my wife and daughter the story, and I realized I never even got her name. She's probably sitting in front of the ice cream cabinet, probably still going, who was that masked man? That was 1989, 1999. We're going to jump ahead 10 years. Excuse me. God had pulled me from being in the worship arena and the music arena. I had just finished writing a song for the Miami Heat, their opening song, a basketball team. I had done Olympics, the music for CBS for track and field. And God took me out of that arena and had me trained under in the prophetic by a man named John Paul Jackson. John Paul was my mentor. I spent 4 years traveling with him, and then he released me. He sent me out in the prophetic ministry, and I was fresh in the prophetic ministry, and I was, you know, just, you know, God was just moving. And I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana again, which is interesting. We no longer live there. We live in Texas at that moment of time. And I'm driving down, and I'm driving through an area of town that I didn't know, and I turned right instead of left. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. And I end up in a part of town that definitely probably wasn't the best area of town. And I'm driving along, and I see this young mom carrying her baby along the sidewalk. And I hear the Lord say to me, give her the money in your pocket. I said, Lord, I have $10 in my pocket. That's all I got. I got $10 to my name. That's all I had at that moment in my $10. I said, I'm driving along and I pass her and I get to the stoplight and I hear the Lord say, go back. Turn around and go back. So I turn right and I go right and I go right and I come back. And I'm thinking, I've got like 2 stoplights and 3 blocks everywhere. And I'm going, she'll be gone. This is great, you know. I get my 10 bucks for lunch. I drive around and she's there. Now I start arguing with God because I'm thinking, what if I give her half and I save half for lunch? What about that? That'd be a good split. Give her the 10 bucks. So I pull over. Of course, there's a parking space. Where? Right in front of her. Thank you very much. Pull over, park. I get out of the car. I'm the minority at this moment in this neighborhood, and it's not a really good neighborhood, and that's okay. But I'm thinking she's going to think I'm a freak. I get out and I cautiously come to her and I say, hi, ma'am. I just want to ask you a question. Do you need any help in any way? Because I believe that I would like to give you this $10. I said, that's all. I just want to give you this $10. And she began to weep. She said, 2 days ago, I ran out of formula for my baby, and I can't provide for her. So I went into that convenience store, and I tried to ask them if they would give me some formula, and they wouldn't. And I'm afraid my baby is going to die. I said, well, there's 10. That's all I got. Wish I had more. I said, do you want me to go back into the store with you? She says, no, though. I'll do it. I never got her name. There's a pattern here. She didn't know me as a prophetic voice. She didn't know me that I had traveled all over the world by that point. She didn't know that I'd written music for CBS for the Olympics. She didn't know that the Miami Heat used the opening song that I had written. She didn't know any of that. She was one person, and I stopped for her. Didn't matter. Now I'm going to forward to 2019. It's about 3-4 weeks ago. I've been having trouble with, been having trouble with a foot issue. Actually got a, have you ever heard of gout? So Dave Barry, he's a humorist, he was asked one time, what does gout feel like? And he says, well, imagine a wasp stung your toe and you killed it with a hammer. I have been struggling with gout ever since we moved to Camarillo, California, we've lived in California now 16 years. And we moved from Santa Barbara, California, 7-8 months ago to Camarillo, which is about 35 minutes further south in Ventura County. And that's why I wear shirts like this. And John's envious, I know. Anyway, I've been struggling with gout, and it's very painful. It's caused me to miss some trips. It's been a very painful thing. And my wife, about 3-4 weeks ago, her name's Crystal, she got really upset. She said, I'm tired of this. Now, guys, I had no faith at all. I had no faith at all. I was just worn out with it. And I said, well, tell you what, you pray and I'll believe your faith. Because I believe you have the faith for it. I gingerly put a shoe on to go to church. And I shuffled into church. And I realized my foot didn't hurt anymore. I do know her name. She stopped for the one. She stopped for the one. I was the one that time. You see, that's the point about stopping for the one, guys. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, where we've been. We can stop for the one any time that he points it out. Jesus often said he had compassion. And when he had compassion, there was healing that followed. Why? I believe because he stopped for the one. Guys, we can all stop for the one. Nothing you've done, nothing you will ever do, nothing can stop you from ministering to the one. Nothing. You get that? There's no rules that say you have to stop. You can't stop for the one. I don't care if you feel like you've messed up horribly. You have the Spirit of God in you. So you're able to stop for that one. We are in a season in the body of Christ. We are entering, well, actually, we've entered. How many of you for the last 30 years have heard the words, we're coming into a season of incredible growth in the body of Christ? People are going to come to the Lord by the millions. Ever heard that before? And we have heard that for so long, we don't even believe it anymore. Guess what, guys? We're there. Did you know that? We're already there. We're right now we are at the very edge. Imagine yourself standing on the edge of a field. I wish I could do that right now. And our feet are touching on the very edge of this gigantic field. That field has 1 billion people that has been promised to come into the kingdom. In 1913, William Seymour, Azusa Street, prophesied that there would be an unprecedented great awakening. He didn't use numbers. Catherine Kuhlman, Dr. Billy Graham, Dr. Bill Bright, Bob Jones, all these different men and women through the history over the last 106 years have been speaking of 1 billion soul harvest. We've been waiting and waiting and praying and watching to the point that we all stopped believing. But guess what? We're in it. Now you go, how do you know we're in it? One is that there was a man named Paul Kane who recently passed away. I'm not here to talk about who he is or what he is. I'm just saying that he was a very strong prophetic voice in our world. He was an accurate prophetic voice. And he said, I will be alive until this enters and we enter into this great harvest. I'm not saying the, remember my words, I'm not saying the great harvest. I'm saying a great harvest. I don't have the knowledge of the great harvest. Could it be? I don't know. Guys, we're in it. We get to enter into it. How do I also know? I'm getting reports from all over the world. That one-on-one, Do you know how long it's been since people just one-on-one have had interactions with people and they actually are coming to Christ? How many, I mean, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I know I'm sitting in churches all over America and in Europe and in Asia and in Central America, and I know that a lot of people haven't led anybody to Christ in 10 or 20 years. Guys, don't feel guilty about it. It's just been where we've been. It's been a preparation season, but we are now, we have entered into the very edge of this giant field called a billion soul harvest. And where does it start? Stop for the one. Just stop for the one, guys. That's all it is. I was driving along. I was in Fort Worth, Texas a few months ago. I was driving along, and there was a guy walking across a very busy street. He was obviously homeless, or at least looked homeless, drunk, weaving all, I mean, just walking all over the road. And I'm with a friend of mine, and we're talking, and I see this guy, and the first thing in my mind says, stop, 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 get this guy out of the road. And I didn't. I just passed him by. Why? Because I was too busy in my mind at that moment to keep going. Guys, do you understand who you are? Do you really understand who you are? You are the kingdom. You are the power. You are the glory of God. Yes, he is the author of it, but you are his ambassadors of it. You carry the weight, the glory, the power, the permission. You carry his permission to go after him. There's somebody in your congregation, I don't know what you call it. I'll call it a congregation. I don't know what words work anymore. Who has been writing me because I started this thing called 30 seconds. So 30 seconds of prayer, asking people to pray daily for 30 seconds. That's it, around the world. We on, I think it was Christmas Day, we had about 30,000 plus people join us from around the world. And just pray for this billion soul harvest. And this person, I can't mention their name because I didn't ask them if it was okay. So I'll just say they've been writing about their experiences of stopping for the one. Now, they didn't use that language, but that's okay. Right here in this body. You guys have this built in. I'm speaking prophetically right now, so hear my voice. My wife has to remind me that I, you know, let them know. You have to understand who you are as a body of believers. That the corporate gathering together is a unified gathering that gathers together what God has intended for you on the earth as a whole and individually. Otherwise, he's drawn people together for a purpose. Guys, every person I've ever met at this church, I'm looking out at you and I'm going, you have this ability to connect on a grassroots level with people. You have this ability, but you have to know this. You must become the instigators of those conversations. That's all. Some of you going, well, I'm an introvert. Well, I'm an introvert. I don't like, you know what happened to me on the airplane the other day? It was my birthday on Wednesday, and I'm flying from Alabama to Kansas City. And my seatmate, who's a good friend of mine, tells this flight attendant that it's my birthday. It was like being at Chili's. told him he's going to get it back. They made me a crown. You know those biscotti cookies you get on the airplane? They took tape and made a whole thing of them. And then made the whole airplane not sing, fortunately. I'm just dying inside. This is not joyful for me. So I know that there are some of you that are incredibly introverted, and yet God will bring people across your path. Guys, your body, your congregation has this ability. Prophetically, I'm speaking into your life. You have this ability to reach people on a grassroots, down on the ground, one-to-one, family-to-family, person-to-person. You have this ability in you as a body. I don't think I know. My wife and I are both introverted people. Kathy, don't hate me for this. See, she's like, oh, okay. She already hates me. I understand. But I don't know if I know two opposite people more than John and Kathy in a sense of introverted and extroverted. Now, he might say he's introverted, and if he does, well, I don't know anything. You know. He's outgoing. He loves to talk and chat with people, and Kathy loves to internalize and process. We all process, right? But we all have the ability, each of us, and I think they're a perfect example for me of what they bring into this body and this ability both to go deep with people and to invite people. And guys, you have this ability in you. Can you hear my words? Do you believe it? You don't have to. You don't have to believe it. What you have to believe is what the Holy Spirit's saying to you right now. And what you have to decide is this guy up here an idiot? Or is he really hearing from the Lord? Are you a people? That have this ability to connect with others. Grassroots. Down on the ground, right there. I believe you do. You're a part of bringing a billion people into the kingdom of God. Yeah. And we're no longer waiting. Yeah. It's already here. So I'm giving a wake-up call. I'm not going to do some call and say, who do you know? Picture someone in your mind. It's not like that, guys. You're going along. Your spirit is going to get pinned, pricked. It's going to get pointed and prodded. Your spirit's going to go, oh, that one right there. Because the Spirit of God is moving on the earth right now in a way he hasn't for years. He's opening the door to a billion souls coming into the kingdom. Let me tell you, this won't be overnight. We're not going to see a billion people. You know, there's 7.7 billion people on the earth. Some of those are already believers, right? This is going to be decades of happening. I don't believe this is a short-term thing. It's not a revival. It's not a whatever you call them. So there's nothing to do with that. This is something God is doing on the earth that we will not stop because it's so deeply rooted. So many have prayed for it, and now we're there. And I'm here to say, guys, you get to be a part to stop for the one. Where is he going to do that? He's going to do it in the midst of wherever you are. And you're going to miss some. Okay. We've all missed them. Okay. God's big enough to take care of it. Why? I know that God is in control. That's So there's no issue if we miss somebody. He's going to bring somebody along right behind you to take care of it. He just wants you to do it. He just wants you to stop for the one. Why? Because it's going to build your faith like nothing ever has built your faith before. It's going to release something in you. It's going to release the power of God in you. Why are you here? Why? Why are you in church on Sunday morning? If it's just to prove that you've done something good, don't come. I'm sorry, but don't come for that. That's a waste of time. Come to receive the power of God. Come to receive teaching. Come to be equipped to go. Come to go out there. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Thank you, Keith Green. Any more than going to, McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, and it doesn't make you better. It's what you take away that makes you better. It's what you receive and what you go after that makes you better. You're the owner of your destiny in that way. You get to decide what you get to act upon. You're smart. You're full of God. You know that it's not John's job to make sure you grow. It's John's job and the leaders and the elders and the teachers to give you material to grow. You get to choose how much you want to grow. Make sense? So sometimes we really feel like growing. And sometimes we don't. And God's not up there with a blackboard going, oh boy, you missed that one. Send down the angels. Slap them around a little bit. No. God's going, that's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm going to send somebody else right in front of your path. I'm going to give you another opportunity. Yeah. That's what he does, doesn't he? Every one of us has experienced that. That's what we love about our God. He's endlessly coming after us. So why wouldn't he endlessly be coming after this billion people? You go, yeah, but they may be gay. Ooh, they might have even had a sex change. Oh, they. Yeah, absolutely. Won't that be fun? Now, I'm going to say something I'm not legally supposed to say in America anymore. What happens if they get a sex change, they come to Christ, and God does a miracle and brings them back to who they were? What happens? That identity comes in because of the power of God. You're that vessel that carries the power and the glory. Oh, I never wanted, I never thought I'd, I didn't plan on going all that. I'm just so thrilled by what God is doing, guys. I'm just incredibly thrilled by all that God is doing on the earth right now. And I know that we're the answer. Every one of us is the answer. It's no longer some guy or some woman sitting at the top. Yes, do they have that? Yes. Are there leaders? Yes. But I'll guarantee you, that's not who God wants to use on the whole. Yes, will there be big stadiums? La, la, la. I don't care about the big stadiums. I care about you. I care about me. Getting a hold of stopping for the one. Knowing that God in that moment has a defined, divine purpose to reach into their lives. I do want to stop right here. And I'm just gonna say this. I do want you to think of something. Not who you're going to. I want you to go back to somebody that you felt the Lord was prodding you to stop. No, I don't want to. This is not about guilt or shame or missing it. This is just about awakening to the idea. I told you about the man that I saw on the road. God had prompted me to stop, and I didn't. I just want, it's so subtle. Sometimes it's so subtle. I want you to think about that person. Knowing what you know today, knowing that we are entering and have entered into the beginnings of a billion soul harvest, that a billion people are going to meet and encounter and believe in Jesus Christ. If that prompting happened again, what would you do? Maybe you're the door opener that opens into their heart. Maybe you're the encourager that brings something to them that they needed that day. Maybe you're hope or truth or joy. Maybe you're the first step, or maybe you're the last for them to come into the kingdom. This is not about a rule book. This is about listening. And you are skilled. Able. Because of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Amen?
Amen.
So, I can be done. I don't know what comes next, but some of you feeling some weight in the room. I like weight. Weight isn't a bad thing. Weight means God's bringing something. Wow. There's a lady in about the fifth or sixth row back. She has a black jacket on. That would be you. Yes, ma'am. I love it just a second. I love it. That's one of the first key. I love it when somebody's about to give a prophecy, and there's two or three kinds of people. One of them is... I love it. The second one is the puppy dog. They're up out of their seat, man. They're like on the edge of their toes. And then the other one is the sinking behind the person in front of them. They kind of follow the head in front of them, so you never really see the person. It's awesome, man. I love those. They're great. And then the other one is the sinking in the pew seat. And they get lower and lower and lower and lower. Yeah. What is your name, ma'am? If you could shout it out. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
Dorothy.
Thank you. Hi, Dorothy. I'm Byron. Man, I saw this authority coming on your life. And it was like you had been holding an umbrella to keep some things away from you, and that was pouring out on you, things that could be painful, things that could be hard on your heart, that were, and it was purposeful, it was needed. You had an umbrella, and that umbrella was there for the last 4 to 5 years, and God's removing that umbrella, and in its place, he's, because of what you've done and how you've responded to these conditions, he's releasing authority into your life, authority in prayer, authority in the word. He's giving you an upscale. He's upscaling you in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. And I just want to bless that, Dorothy. I'm so grateful. You know, I just want to say thank you, because what you did is, the umbrella was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. It was a really good thing. It's, you had to have it. God gave you, it's like he gave you that umbrella so that you could walk in peace. Because without that umbrella, it was going to be really hard to walk in peace. So I want to honor you and bless you in that, Dorothy, and say thank you for grabbing a hold of that umbrella. But now he's taking you out, and he's taking you out of that place. The umbrella is no longer needed. It was a tool in that season, but that's no longer needed. And may that increase into your life abundantly. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. I love that. Cool. Looking for the one sinking down in the pew. I always like those most.
They just want to be like God, invisible.
Yes. Yeah. There's a young man sitting up here. He's short, light-colored hair, kind of a. Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, I see him back there. Yeah, yeah. And what's your name, sir?
Aaron.
Wow. How old are you?
18.
Uh-huh. Wow. So, I don't get these kind of words. So this is really weird for me. But I just see nations all over your life. And I'm not one to generally say that. And I'm not saying that's a ministry. I'm saying it's a heartbeat. I believe that God wants to give you the heart for nations. I think it actually has to, it's a governmental authority. It's ability to see, and to see a big picture on the earth, and to see what's happening in the world. It's an ability to see what, how nations operate and function. How it's a very governmental thing to me. It's like I see government written over your head. It's like some kind of thing over your head. and government basically is not like saying that you have to run for office. What I'm saying is, it's the ability. Again, it's this authority thing. God's increasing. Oh, I'll take a minute there. Oh gosh, I love it. Can I keep going for a minute?
Sure.
So I'm on my way from Alabama to here, and on Tuesday morning, I'm with James and Wanda, okay? Most of you know James and Wanda. So I'm putting on my socks and shoes, and I start with my left foot, and the Lord says, put it on your right. I'm going, it's not one of those. That's weird, God. So I start to put it on, and then I start to put my left shoe on, and God says, put it on your right. I go, okay, my God. Silly moments. Silly day. Next day I get up, I'm heading out to the airport to come in to go out to Mike and Gloria's, and it's Wednesday morning, and it's early in the morning, and I'm putting my socks and shoes on, and I start to put my left sock on, and he says, put it on your right foot. And I'm like, okay, maybe God's trying to say something here. And he said, yeah, everything's right. And it was confirmation on something. Authority. Authority. Maybe God's trying to say something here. I'll come back to that in just a second. Aaron, I just want to say, these are things you figure out in time. So you don't have to put them on the front burner. They're going to be on the back burner of your life for a while. And it's just let them soak. Let them just kind of Let them just happen in time. But I see these nations on your life, and it's like you have this ability to see nations and have a heart for nations, and that's going to come out possibly in business. It might come out. Who knows how it will come out in the long run. But in the short term, just know that I believe God has given you a heart, and you have an authority on your life. You have a governmental authority on your life to see the kingdom of God expressed on the earth in new and fresh ways. And I just want to leave you with that. Does that resonate at all in your spirit? Doesn't have to, bro. Doesn't have to. So if it does, cool. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to that authority real quick, and then I'll
take your time.
Okay. Oh, all right, then. There's an authority happening here in the body of Christ that I've noticed ever since being here. Got here on Friday. John and Kathy and I have spent some time together. Guys, you're on your way up. Do you get it? Been through a season of trial, now you're on your way up. That means God's releasing authority on the body of Christ here. You can't grow without authority. You can't gain ground in the kingdom without his authority.
That's right.
So that means he's pouring it out little by little. But be ready for that moment when he tips the scales, because he will. I don't know when, I don't know how, he hasn't said that to me. All I know is that there's a moment when he will tip the scales for you, and that authority will be released, and there will be a new season upon this body. There's a couple right back here. You've got a plaid shirt on, sir. Yep, you just looked at each other.
Yeah.
That's okay. And your names are? Marcus.
And Beth.
Beth. Good, that's good right there. That's really good. I don't know, I think I just saw you reach over and grab your wife's hand. Yeah, that's good. Wow. I'm just... Sometimes I feel like that Irish guy in Braveheart. Wow. Are you from this area?
It's from Sweden.
I'm sorry?
Sweden.
Oh. Both of you? No. Right. I'm taking my time, guys. Because I really think what God is doing right now, Marcus and Beth, the Lord just keeps saying, who are you? That's what I'm, it's like that's what I get in my spirit. I want to know, who are you? Remember the Lord of the Rings? Did you ever watch that, the trilogy? Strider, do you know who's, you know, the, yeah, of course you do. You have a Strider anointing on your life. So within you is kingship. Now we all carry kingship in the kingdom. Because that's a part of our inheritance. But you carry a kingship within your life, within your family. That was two generations ago. Your grandfather on your mom's side. You'll have to look that up. Something happened there that caused the kingship to try and be stolen from you. And by kingship, I mean, this authority thing. Yes, it's huge. Is that ability to rule and to reign in goodness on the earth in whatever you do. I see you, Beth, where are you from? Here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Gosh, there's just so much in there right now. Guys, you have this anointing on your life that's really sweet and genuine, but for both of you. But it's a ruling authority, and you need to take that back. If I'm wrong, I don't mind being wrong, by the way. I just want you to know. I have no issues being wrong. The Lord never said that you had to be 100% right. He said you have to love. So I don't mind being wrong. It might be your granddad. It might be your great-granddad. But there's somebody in your heritage, I believe, on your mom's side that was trying to be stolen, and that is the kingship of life, the ability to lead. And your Beth, I don't know who your family is, but you had to come into his life in order to release that together as a couple. And that takes place in, I don't know if business is a part of who you are, but in some way you rule over men, and I mean men and women, and I mean that you have this great gentleness on your life to be able to speak into people's lives and have them follow you. And that might be in business. I don't know. I don't know who you are. I don't have to know that stuff. I kind of go, that's enough. I don't need to know anymore. So I want to bless that taking back of that kingship that's on your family. Yeah. So, Father, I just ask that you would bless this couple abundantly. That you would release a fresh, that you would bring back into their lineage, that you would bring back into their line a kingship, authority, the hope of a nation, a people, a ruling, Lord, that he's a man and they're a couple that rule together. And we just want to honor that and bless that wherever you desire to take that. In Jesus' name.
Huh. Yeah, go ahead. This is a teaching moment, okay?
Yeah, go for it, please.
I want to validate how the Lord works. I meet with a small group of guys from time to time, and Marcus is one of them. And I've described him as a man with a noble heart.
Oh, wow.
He, as it pertains to being a husband and a father, he's a man of nobility, which speaks of that. In both of these kids, come on, Bethy, are called to the nations. They've both done missions work. They've done the missions trips. They have missions in their heart. And I got the chance to marry these kids, and essentially what happened was they agreed we're going to stop and have children and raise a family, and then we're going to the nations. And so this fits very much with who they are and the call that is on their lives. I just want to say, he didn't know that, I didn't tell him that. Yeah. But I'm over here smiling because I know historically what's going on. So you just need to know the Lord's doing things, and that is authority being release, because identity and authority are like married like that. And I wanted that for your sake, but I wanted that for their sake as well. So, yeah.
Well, okay, that's good. Who said that?
Thank you, Kevin.
Sorry, I didn't plan on this part of it. So I always have to check my heart, you know? I just want to check my heart. What is your name? Say it again.
Catherine.
Catherine. Oh, how do you spell the last part?
I-N-E,
okay. I have a Catherine as well. Such a funny world we live in. I'm sitting here going, I did this for Sarah Bailey years ago about writing. And I saw this journal sitting in front of you with a pen. Now I'm a writer. I communicate much better on paper than I do this way. I do okay. But I have time on paper to craft and to really look at it and really put my heart out there the way I desire. I saw you, Catherine, with this journal in front of you, and it was open, and it was open to the middle, which means to me there had already been writing in it. So that means you have used this journal in your life, whether it's real or not real, it doesn't matter. It's what I saw in the spirit, is that you've recorded in your spirit the things that God has done. But now it's time to record not just what he's done, but the deeper things of those, the things that needs to go beyond just writing your diary. It needs to go into why. Why are you doing this? And what is he doing with these things? Because you, I saw these little kids, and they were just they were gathering around your feet, and they were gathering around, and it's not like you were writing children's stories. You were writing life stories, and they were connecting with you through your life stories. And the life stories had humor, they were fun, and yet they carried like words, like pearls of wisdom, pearls of life that were, you know, allowed you to speak into their lives. If we have a billion people coming into the kingdom over the next years, there's gonna be a lot of kids in there. There's gonna be a lot of children. I'm not saying you have a children's ministry. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's time to move. It's this journal was halfway done in the sense of that particular. We have lots of journals in our lives. So this is one journal, and it's the pages were closed on that. So it's time to write something new. And I believe it's the stories of your life. Does that make any sense at all? Possibly. Oh, good. That's one of those Victrola dog motor moments when you kind of go, well, we'll see. I love that. Yeah. Well, I don't think I've ever given you guys a word. Have I ever given you a word? Is that right? I'm not a very nice friend, am I? Wow. Yesterday, John, we were talking about these guys. I don't remember what we were talking about, but we were talking about something. Mm-hmm. But when we were, I saw this incredible change happening in your life, and it was like just moving into you were moving out and moving. It wasn't like you were, it was creativity. creativity was starting to overflow into your mind, and that creativity couldn't be contained, and it had to go into your heart. And so it was like, instead of releasing it, he's dropping it into your heart. And what was really cool is, again, it was like doing this thing together. It's like there was something happening between you guys that was, I don't know if you consider yourself creative or not. I don't know. Do you consider, sort of? Sometimes?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Because it was like your mind was exploding with creativity, and generally you've gone and released it, and he's going, he's taking it into your heart. And when you take it into your heart, she's able to grab it. And it's time to bring it into your heart so it expands. Because you need what she has in order to make this thing bigger than both of you. Does that make sense? Okay. Let that happen. Does anybody else want that? I really want to talk to couples real quick. And if you feel like God is doing something, this is important. This is a part of that authority, and I'll close with this. This is a part of that authority. This is a part of that there's increase in creativity, increase in working together as couples. And if you have that, I'd love for you to stand up and take that, because I think God wants to release something. It doesn't, you know, if that's who you are and what God is doing, then great. If not, then yeah, he'll draw you close together, don't worry, you know. Sorry, I'm such a jerk. Wow, yeah, so Father God, hey John, I want to pray something, but I think, you know, this is probably something too I'd love to have you get in on.
Is okay, cool.
Because I think you're the leader of this body. Anybody up top? Nope, okay, just double checking. Exactly what I think. Wow. Yeah. I just want to take a glance, okay, guys? Father God. Yeah. Thank you for new seasons. Mm-hmm. Thank you for levels of creativity increasing. Thank you for newness. Thank you for how you're joining couples together to do new things together as couples. To impact not just outside of them, but their lives as well. A newness, a freshness, a new place. So Lord, I just want to say thank you. I honor that. I want to bless those in this house this morning. Ask you to seal those up, to make them aware, to bring them into fresh places. Yeah.
Yeah, do it, Lord. I, as soon as you said that, Byron is flashed in front of my eyes. Lord, we ask for you to set your hand on those who are saying yes, and for you to create new empowered partnerships. Not just partnerships that are familiar, though they are, but empowered in a way that they know it's really more of a triune thing than a dual thing, because you're so in it. And that's the empowerment in the partnership. And so it's different than joining hands, even than joining hearts. It's joining you in being joined in hand and heart. And Lord, would you add your touch, your empowerment to these partnerships, and may you get a smile on your face because of what happens, and may we benefit greatly from the power of the creativity and the effect of that among us. We release it Just say yes. That's all you really need to do is just say yes. Now look up at me for just a minute. What Byron said today, I want you to know we're seeing an example of what he said today, because prophetic ministry is the Holy Spirit stopping for the one. He picks this one, he says this one, he touches that one, he raises up these two, because he recognizes the time and the situation that people are in. And it's not that he doesn't stop for everybody, he lives within you. But there are times that he puts you in a phone booth with him and said, I'm stopping for this one. He never misses. He never misses. So, well, why did he pray over this and why didn't he pray over that one? It's because this is what the Holy Spirit's doing in the moment, and it's good for all of us. It's good for each of us. And in special ways, maybe for people who got that instruction or that direction, wow, that's great. But you don't know what's been going on behind the scenes between them and God. Okay? So just like we've been exhorted to stop for the one, the Holy Spirit stopped for several ones. Isn't that cool? Now sit down for just a minute, if you will, please. I know it's pastoral time, but I've been sitting over here going like this a little bit. What do I do when the Lord stops me? How do I recognize the Lord stops me? I'm a little dull sometimes, and a little afraid sometimes, and a little afraid, you know, that kind of stuff. I felt like I'm supposed to say this. I'm going to say this and let you go. Putting Byron's bags in the trunk, and I said, oh yeah, I got to move this thing. It's got my jumper cables in it. Because some time ago, I make sure I have at least one, sometimes two sets of jumper cables in my car, because every once in a while, somebody can't get their car started, and I'm there, and I can create a conversation. Now, I can't tell you 14 people got saved last week because I did that, but I've had the opportunity to pray for a couple of people like that, and a couple of people said, no, I have help coming on the way, but thank God that you came and talked to me, because I was feeling so alone and didn't know what was going to happen. And somebody said, Justin is coming. But in between now and then, I'm alone. So I just stayed with him until the person that was going to help him came. So what is that? Guys, go buy a set of jumper cables. See, I used to have them in my car because I was the one that would break down all the time. That is no kidding. But carry jumper cables in your car. And it's a way for you to have help in stopping for the one. Well, I don't ever see anybody like that. Shop at Walmart. Well, you think I'm kidding? I'm telling you the truth. Everybody I've prayed for has been in a Walmart parking lot. What I'm doing there is saying, Lord, I need your help in recognizing one I should stop for. And this is just help from the outside. And what will that do? Well, it'll cause jumper cable sales to go up for a minute. But the idea is, I'm actually preparing, Lord. I'm trying to put myself in the position where I can hear you say, stop for somebody. I mean, it's an intentional way of him being spontaneous with you. And there's lots of different ways of doing it, but I just felt like I needed, this is just a really good practical way of doing that. And it won't hurt. You know, you don't hardly even get your hands dirty about it. The thing is, and oftentimes I haven't actually done the jumping for everybody, but I've had the opportunity to speak to everybody. And last time I got to do this, it was real hot. It was in the summer. And I didn't know this, but this guy had gone through a divorce. He had his boys for the first time. And the car wouldn't start. And apparently he'd got the boys in the car, and they prayed. And I showed up, I mean, within a little bit of time. And we started the car, and he turned to his boys and he said, see, boys, I told you if we prayed, God would show up. And I said, you made my day, Jack. And all I did was, we got the car started, and I said, the battery's fried, man, you can tell. And I followed him around to the backside and made sure he had enough money to buy a battery. And voila. And the kids, you know, and I told him to get something to drink, you know, and cool off. That man, his first shot at having family again, and I got to be part of it, only because I had jumper cables in the truck. That's no big deal, but that was the best Saturday I'd had in a while. So I just want to say, He's just not ethereal. This isn't just stuff out of the clouds. If we prepare ourselves, if we're ready, man, he'll open doors for us. So Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for Byron being with us today. Thank you that you do care and you care for everyone. That's why it's not so difficult to stop before the one. And Lord, we have cameras. We'd love to record testimonies. We pray you start writing them with us and that we get very creative in being able to share that with everybody else. So we bless you today. We love you. We give ourselves to you and say, Lord, we want to step into that field as far and as fast as we can. In Jesus' name. Amen.